and welcome. I'm Richard from Veg Grab Podcast, and this is episode 162, titled Avoiding Tools That Seem a Good Idea But End Up Unused. Today is the 2nd of April, 2018, and for us here in the UK, it's been a bank holiday. So most of us have had a long weekend with an extra couple of days in recognition of Easter. If you celebrate Easter, I hope you have had a good one. If you don't celebrate it, well, I hope you've enjoyed the weekend anyway. And if you've still been working over Easter, well, I'm sorry for being so positive about the days off and stuff. Anyway, coming up today, I have the diary, including planting tomatoes and sowing some more seeds. Then we have what the calendar suggests to do for the following week. And then following on from that, we have my ways that I avoid buying those tools that seem like a great idea, but they really end up at the back of a shed forgotten about because they don't quite work how they are marketed. But before that, let's check on the diary. Now, last week said I had this horrible cold, which is why last week's podcast was really late. It completely wiped me out and I really could not do much till about Thursday. And if I'm honest, I'm still suffering a bit with it now, but the worst of it is over. Now, so Friday, with it being a bank holiday and a day off work, the inevitable happened. It rained. I managed to basically just do a bit of tidying in the sheds, greenhouse and garden, but it wasn't the warmest weather or the driest, and with this cold, I was just taking things a bit easier. Saturday morning, I felt a lot better and the sun was out, so I grabbed the opportunity to head down the allotment. I have to say, it felt really, really good to get down there with some decent weather and do plenty of work. Especially as the weather has been so crap lately, it really was good. Now, my first job I tackled was a bonfire. And I started by emptying my incinerator bucket, otherwise known as an old washing machine drum. I've just emptied all the ash onto one of the beds and spread that all around. I then put the drum back into its position and placed some of my dried out artichoke stems in there. Set a fire going, and as it was burning, I was cutting more of the stems and bits of wood I had lying around that needed burning to the fire just to get it burnt and gone. And doing this alone just tidied up the compost area quite a bit. And of course, when the ashes cooled down, it's great for the garden. So I've got the bonfire underway. I turned the attention to the area that I am growing potatoes in this year. And I took down my brush cutter that I recently fixed, and I just used this just to cut down all the stems and brambles and stuff in the area. And with them cut down, I covered this with the weed suppressing membrane and weighed them down with potato buckets. Now, these potato buckets I've completed filling with, or partially filling, I should say, with compost and manure. And the compost was actually digging out from the compost bin. The compost that has been produced, I'm really pleased with. It's a nice, decent-looking load of compost. So that was a really, really good bonus. But interestingly, as I'm digging out some of the compost, I suddenly see a handle sticking out there. So I pulled on this, and it turned out to be my hedge trimmers that I lost last year. And I was really pleased to see these because I wondered where they had been. And yeah, they're quite dirty and going to need a bit of TLC and a good bit of oil to bring them back to use. But I found them. So back to the potato buckets. Now that they were all set up, I finally planted out my potatoes. Now that's all the varieties I had, every single one. Well, I was short by 12 buckets on Saturday, so the vast amount was done on Saturday. I planted those out, topped them up with more compost. It did take quite a while to do this job, as I'm sure you can imagine. I don't know how many pots I've actually got there. I should have counted them, but there's quite a few. Now, the potatoes was really my main job that I wanted to achieve this weekend. I wanted to do it a couple of weekends ago, but the weather just hasn't been on this good side. But I had the time on Saturday, so I spent a lot of more time just weeding again. Now, weeding is one of those annoying jobs, I know, but it needs doing. After the weeding, I harvested a few leeks and some broccoli ready for our Sunday lunch, and the broccoli itself was pretty small and not a huge amount of it. But broccoli, of course, is the type of thing we want to keep harvesting, and it should produce more in theory. Anyway, after about 6 hours on the allotment, I headed home and found that my wife had actually hacked back some of the ivy that we have growing behind my potting shed. Now, I kind of have a love-hate relationship with ivy. It grows rampant, it produces screening as well as a home for birds living in it. In fact, we have about 3 robins, several thrushes, a blue wagtail that I have spotted living in the ivy. Because these birds are living there, it kind of makes pruning very difficult, which means the ivy can get out of control. But my wife, she cut quite a few stems back. Thankfully, she didn't go in deep, but just got it looking a bit more manageable on one side. And all the ivy stems, she just threw on the lawn, which is something we tend to do. And then I run over it with a lawnmower. And the lawnmower just chops up all these cuttings really small and nicely. And then they go into the compost bin to rot down fast. And it really does make a difference. Although it's a lot of work for the lawnmower, the fact that they are chopped up so small means they do produce a better compost, a faster compost. In fact, I stuck my hand in there today and it was hot already. So it just shows. Sunday, I was having the family round for lunch, so I didn't have a huge amount of time except for watering and just checking on plants. But today, as it was a bank holiday, I had that extra day off work. It rained again, of course it did. Typical. Anyway, I managed to prick out some more of my seedlings and get them moved on to the next stages. I then sowed a few seeds, and the seeds I sown are okra, a variety called Clemson Spineless. Tried for the last 3 years to grow these. Hopefully this year will be good. 3 varieties of tomatoes, and these are all blight resistant types. We got Crimson Crush and Mountain Magic, both of which I've grown before. Crimson Crush I swear by, Mountain Magic I grew for the first time last year and really impressed with. And my new one, Loretta. So again this year I'll be comparing all 3 to see how they get on, and we'll report back on that later on in the year. I then also sowed some red turban pumpkins. Now, I did try growing this variety of pumpkin last year, but it failed. But again, hopefully this year we'll get a bit better luck. Now, I did have some flower buckets lying around, and I've decided to use these as potato buckets. So I drilled holes into 12 of these, and then I took them down the allotment and planted those up with the remaining potatoes. I've got all my potatoes planted now. So just a case now of monitoring, watering, tending, and adding more compost as they grow. Although I am keeping the fleece handy just in case. After what happened last year, I don't want to repeat off. So that has brought the diary all up to date. So let's take a look at what the calendar suggests to do for this next week. It reads, now is the ideal time to plant lily bulbs, pot plenty of crocks at the bottom of your plot to help drainage and use John Innes No. 2 compost. Water sparingly, weed borders, taking care not to disturb clumps of cilias, muscari and other small flowering bulbs. Leave them to seed themselves and spread. There's not really much I have to say on that. It's all about flowering plants, but yeah. So this week I wanted to discuss the tools that seem like a great idea, but when they get used, they turn out to be a waste of time for one reason or another. Now this isn't so much, well, sometimes it's because the product is bad, of course, but sometimes it could just be that it's not quite as useful as we first thought of it, or it's fiddly. And let's be honest, I'm sure everyone listening has a tool like that in their shed. For me, one item in particular that really brought this home for me was a tool for sowing seeds. And it was designed to make an easy job of sowing seeds at the correct spacing. And the idea was you fill seeds into a hopper, brush seeds along into the holes, and then you slide the hopper across and it ejects a seed at the right space. And it actually done that really, really well. It worked. But I only used it once and it's sat in the back of a shed somewhere. And that was mainly because, one, I found it too fiddly to use. And then when I was using it, I ended up with backache because I was leaning over, using it on the ground. I was sowing carrots, if I remember correctly. And it, a whole row of carrots, it took a while to do. It was painful. It was fiddly. So I kind of got a bit annoyed and never used it again. Now, I've also had other products that have broken very easily. I've had a rake that broke on the first use, if I'm honest. And they may not even be strong enough for the job. And these really are useless. And it's something we really need to avoid. So nowadays, whenever I see a product that kind of fits into this bill, I find myself just thinking back to these experiences and reminding myself that it may well be marketed good, but investigate and let's try not to waste money or have any mishaps. And I do this by asking myself a few questions as I'm looking at the product. Firstly, I will ask myself if it is really as useful as it's made out to be and what job will it help to alleviate. Now, generally, this is probably answered in the marketing, but I try and visualise myself using the item and thinking, will it work for what I want it to do? Will I find it fiddly and annoying? Will it? Yeah, you know, just visualising using it. I will then research the product and see if anybody out there has used it and left a review. Now, this could be a review on something like Amazon or a YouTube video or a blogger. And I find this to be one of the most important ways of researching a product, because if somebody's used it, they've demonstrated how they use it and what it's for and all that sort of thing. And there's a good chance that if it worked for them, it will work for me. That, of course, depends on whether you trust the reviewer. And in some cases, manufacturers are known to give away products to get really good reviews in a bid to boost their claims. And this particularly happens on Amazon. But if I'm looking on Amazon for a product like this, there's a website called fakespot.com. You enter the address of the product and it will analyze the reviews and tell you whether it's fake or not and give you a rating. And it helps weed out the fake reviews and build trust. And again, that's not to say it's a bad product, but it's worth reading the reviews. Personally, I still much prefer to watch a YouTuber review or a blogger. As watching them use it and seeing them use it helps visualize it, again, for my own use. Can work out if it's fiddly or if it really is good. I also like to find reviewers who have not just used it the once and written a review. I prefer them when they've used it a couple of months and they've used it a few times. Again, this, if they've used it a few times, it kind of proves it's not fiddly because it's been reused instead of thrown at the back of a shed. So after all this research, I will then sleep on it. And this just processes the information and I can work out whether or not it's worth investing. Then once I've kind of 90% of the decision is made, I will try and research if the product is going to be at any shows or any shops that I can get my hands on it and play with it before I purchase and have a look and see if it will do what it does, if it's going to be too flimsy and if it will break and all that sort of thing. But if I can't actually get my hands on it to physically check it, I will check the return policy from the company. And if I feel the return policy is good enough, I may well buy it to test it. And if it fails, if the test after using it, I will return it. Now, returning a product is something that I don't think us consumers do enough of. Psychologically, I think it's hard to get our head around, especially if the product itself works, it's just not what you thought it would be. But I find by telling myself I have not purchased it until I am happy with it, I do find it's easier to send it back. And that means I'm not wasting money, of course, and not wasting space in the shed, I guess, as well. So yeah, getting that mindset that you haven't actually bought it until the return policy is up. Normally they say something like 14 days, no quibble, return policy sort of thing. And it really is worth using that. Now, it is pretty hard to avoid these items. They are out there. We've all bought them. Like I said earlier, I can guarantee you, you're listening to this and you're thinking back to your shed and items that you've got in there that just don't get used. Well, if they're not getting used, it might be time to get rid of them, sell them on eBay or something, and just move on. Easier said than done again. I know, it's that psychology. But if you have got these items, and I would love it if you tell me your stories of these sort of things. I think it'd be interesting to find out these, I don't want to say bad items, but what you thought they would do just hasn't lived up to expectations. I'd love to hear those sort of stories. And if you'd like to let me know, either do it in the comments, which you can find episode 162 at thevegrowerpodcast.co.uk, or you can email me, richard@thevegrowerpodcast.co.uk, the Facebook page, the Facebook group, the Twitter, all that sort of thing. Anything like that, I would be really interested to hear if you've got any products that have fit this bill. And you know, again, if we get those stories shared, it might make more of us sort of think twice before buying a product. Again, that's not saying the product's bad. It's about saying it may not live up to expectations. I'm not the type, I don't like saying a product is bad if it actually does what it says on the tin, but if it's fiddly and awkward and it doesn't get used. I'd much rather give an honest review than a slated review, I guess. So I'm going to wrap up for this week. I need to go get some Lemsip in me again. But one thing before I go, on Wednesday, the 4th of April, 2018, 8 p.m, I will be on the Bald Explorers live Facebook video. We're going to be talking about podcasts, allotments, growing vegetables and all that sort of thing. Everything that we discuss on here, I'm going to be discussing with him and people commenting on his live shows. Really, really interesting thing that he has going there. And I would love it if any of you listening would join me. If it works, we may do more live broadcasts in the future. But it'd be great to have that interaction with you guys, and hopefully we can get more people taking up allotmenteering and growing vegetables and joining in our community as well. So really, really would love it if you could come along. That's 8 p.m, Wednesday the 4th of April, Bald Explorer Facebook group page. I will add a link to the blog post, but it will be a laugh, and guarantee you will laugh a lot. He's a pretty funny guy. His name's Richard Vobes as well. Anyway, I look forward to seeing you there. But for now, please take care, and I will see you all again next time.